Ave Maria in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Welcome to Ave Maria in the Afternoon, examining the world through the lens of faith from the heart of the Church to help us navigate the culture. Here's Dr. Marcus Peter.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for joining us on this hour of Ave Maria in the Afternoon. I'm Marcus Peter, and we are going to be looking at this hour, the opioid crisis. We're going to open this hour by talking with Michael Vasquez. Michael is the author of The Untold Story of the Opioid Crisis in American Healthcare. And Michael has, unfortunately, a few personal stories that have led to his very vested interest in the issue. The first being that of his mother, but the second being that of his son. And therefore, this is a problem that has plagued him multiple times. And he and his bride are both personally invested in the problem of the opioid crisis, and they've proposed certain solutions. We're going to include in the description of today's program how to find more resources to Michael's work. And the reason why this is so crucial is because, unfortunately, we are seeing an opioid crisis reality in American healthcare with very few resources and avenues for healing and for, well, overcoming addiction to opioids. So Mike is the CEO of Opioid Clinical Management, and his book, The Untold Story of the Opioid Crisis in American Healthcare, New Era of Prevention Through AI, attempts to present a few pathways forward for individuals and for loved ones who know individuals who are in need of help in this struggle. After that, we will talk with Father Wade Menezes. Father Wade recently launched a new podcast called Stand Firm, Be Strong. His book is of the same title, Stand Firm, Be Strong. Now, he and I talked about his book when it first launched, almost 2 years ago now, a year and a half ago. And the book is a 200-day meditation for men to begin at any point in the year or in life, going through a day-by-day deepening of their spirituality of life. And it is a call to become a better son, that we may become better men and better husbands and better fathers. Now, from there, EWTN has now asked Father Wade to launch a 200-episode podcast going through each of the days of the book. And Father Wade is very clear. The podcasts are 5 minutes a day. They do not cover the entirety of what the book talks about. Instead, they're an introduction. We'll talk about this after the headlines.
Thanks, Marcus. Good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Monday, August 10th. It's the Feast of St. Lawrence, Deacon and Martyr. Today's news is brought to you by Visiting Angels, providing loving care and assistance for seniors in need at visitingangels.com. Over the weekend, Iran had a number of demands of the U.S., including that the United States must completely compensate Iran for damages from the five-month-long war. Trump telling White House reporters he thinks Iran should pay for all of the people that they've killed over the decades.
They asked for money for the damage that we've done. I said, that's a good idea. Well, we're going to ask for money for the damage they've done over a 50-year period, whether you go SS Cole or whether you go all of the people that were so badly hurt, so badly wounded or killed.
Trump once again adding that the U.S. controls the Strait of Hormuz. Thousands of Spokane, Washington residents are returning to their homes after evacuating from massive wildfires that burned entire neighborhoods. Some 65,000 people were forced to leave as the emergency unfolded. Spokane County Sheriff John Knowles says Sunday that the weather cooperated with firefighters over the weekend to help fight the blazes. Todd Blanch has been sworn in as the next attorney general, the Senate confirming Blanch Saturday after weeks of debate. The vote was 50-49, with Republican Senators Susan Collins of Maine and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska joining Democrats in opposition. Some Republicans expressing concerns about Blanch having a possible conflict of interest because he was President Trump's former personal attorney and because he helped create Trump's now rescinded $1.8 billion anti-weaponization fund. Taylor Farms is recalling food items with jalapenos because of possible salmonella contamination. It comes after the California-based company pulled lettuce linked to the ongoing Cyclospora outbreak. Taylor Farms saying the recall products include salsas and guacamole. From your AveMariaRadio.net news desk, I'm Steve Clark.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. The opioid crisis in American healthcare is one of those issues that unfortunately doesn't receive enough attention, with drug overdose deaths at record levels. It's become undeniably evident that change is imperative. Now, we've had substantial investments directed at tackling the issue, but we still need better solutions. Joining me to talk about this is Mike Vasquez. He's the CEO of Opioid Clinical Management and the author of The Untold Story of the Opioid Crisis in American Healthcare. Mike, I'm glad to be speaking with you. How are you?
Thanks for having me.
To begin, I want to invite you to share with us how ubiquitous of an issue this is within the explicit healthcare system, but unfortunately from there, outside even the bounds of what we would consider formal healthcare, that this is even a black market problem as well.
I'll start back with this. Some of your listeners may know we operated St. Gregory Retreat Centers for 12 years, mm-hmm. treated about 10,000 patients, and then started opioid clinical management with the intent of preventing the opioid crisis as opposed to trying to treat it. And the interesting discovery we had is that 75% of the people that enter opioid treatment in the United States report they started with a valid prescription written by their physician. So the light went on that said maybe that's ground zero for the opioid crisis in the U.S. And at that point, we started looking into it because we knew physicians were trying to do nothing but get better patient outcomes, care for their patients. So why was this the case? And what we did was we discovered also that there were no tools for physicians to decide or to be guided by when to write the last prescription. It's very objective for a physician to know when to write the first prescription, surgery, injury, or a diagnosis, but it's very only subjective for them to know when to write the last prescription. How's your pain today? It's a 7. But that 7 entails my emotions that day, my perception of pain, and then the physician has to go on that answer based or make their clinical decision based on that subjective answer. And that's really what we've developed, is a tool that allows a physician to get a more objective answer from the patient so that they can make a better decision on discontinuing the opioid, which is where the crisis starts.
Now, I'm really glad that you shared that, because the crisis therefore starts with a problem in the way we establish the system from the beginning.
Exactly. If you can imagine no blood tests in healthcare, no x-rays in healthcare to guide providers on being able to provide the best care possible. If you just had an x-ray and you said, how's your ankle feel? And I just go, it feels broken or it feels fine. And that was the only feedback you had. That really, you can get a sense of how this impacts healthcare when you're caring for a patient that's being prescribed opioids and really no guidance other than that subjective viewpoint of how their pain feels that day. And so that's really where the premise of the book I wrote, which is The Untold Story of the Opioid Crisis Inside of American Healthcare. And it really starts at that point where we think it's ground zero. The physicians can use tools, better tools, to help make a better objective decision to get better outcomes for their patients that are prescribed opioids. Because the opioids are necessary for pain management. It'll never go away. There's going to be injuries, surgeries, diagnosis that require it. But the problem is overprescribing. But a lot of people hear the word overprescribing and they think of too high of a dose. But what's really the problem is the prescription going on for too long and not ending when it should have to complete the care for pain management.
Now, so much of this for you, Mike, is also deeply personal. In fact, your book begins with this very gut-wrenching story about your mother. I want to give you the space to share as much as you'd like about that.
It started really when I was young, my exposure, because I personally have never experienced any opioid usage or dependency, but I came home when I was in middle school and found my mother unconscious at home with a needle in her arm. And she was an RN, very well educated, but she had fallen down the stairs of the hospital she was working at, broke her back, and during the hospital stay became addicted to opioids. But the only research in the U.S. back then was the fact that opioids were not addictive. And so at that point, she became, and she had access to opioids because she worked in the hospital. And so that really became the guidance that if I ever had an opportunity to understand this better, and then obviously treatment guided a lot of discussions, a lot of research, but where it really came to light is after we opened St. Gregory and had these patients walking through the door, and the first response we got was, I can't believe this happened to me. And then at that point, we started to understand, quite frankly, and a lot of family members who are dealing with or experiencing other family members that are struggling, is the fact that it's really a chemistry problem. Mm-hmm. It's a chemistry problem because the opioid attaches to the brain's receptor and tells it that it has all of the pain relief that normally it naturally provides. But then when it's deleted or depleted and denied, the body screams out and says, you're denying me an opioid, and I'm going to make you sick until you give me one. And that's technically the chemical description of withdrawal or craving, as a lot of people, listeners, may think about it. And, you know, a drug craving seems like an intentional desire to want something. But really what's happening is the body has pain. There's no natural way to fight it. So it knows the opioid can provide that. So it makes you sick. That's its message to you, that if you give me an opioid, I won't make you sick. And it was amazing. We saw this every day in our treatment program, that somebody would come in and be deathly ill. They'd swear they were going to die. But we'd provide them some medication that would simulate the opioid, a synthetic opioid, and amazingly, 20 to 30 minutes later, full recovery. So that's what gave us the idea that that's really where the heart of this starts.
And this, of course, sets your life down an entirely new trajectory, because now not only is this a crucial problem, it's become deeply, heartfeltly personal. Because just so everyone understands, your mother was she was not someone who otherwise would have been considered predisposed to this. She fell into it, like many of the people who fall into this issue.
Right, and that's what happens so much. Everybody envisions someone who's dependent and their needle's in the arm out on a street homeless. But you don't realize how many people in the office next to you, the cubicle next to you, or your next-door neighbor is suffering the same issue.
So from there, how did you begin your kind of work, especially in reaching out to treatment centers and reaching out to treatment centers?
Well, it was an interesting process. My background is actually developing healthcare AI systems, mm-hmm. and I've been doing that for 30 years. And I had a company that was very successful. We took it public in the late mid-90s. But during that process, I sort of took my eye off the ball from a family aspect, and my oldest son got involved with opioids, he and his best friend. The best friend passed away, and so my wife felt like we'd been blessed with some time and some resources, and what can we do to maybe help? And so that's how we got into the treatment industry, is on a small scale, trying to help. We thought we're in Des Moines, Iowa, but then at that point, it expanded very quickly to where we had 300 patients in residence every day, and then that's where our experience came from.
I'm talking with Mike Vasquez. He's the author of The Untold Story of the Opioid Crisis in American Healthcare, A New Era of Prevention Through AI. And we're specifically talking about overcoming a lot of the issues, creating proper remedies for the opioid issue and epidemic here in the United States of America. We're going to continue on the other side of the break. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study. Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarindi here. You want to pass the Catholic faith on to your children? A very good way is to teach your children at home. You want to protect your kids from the toxic culture that surrounds us? Do you want to have a greater influence than what your kids are learning? Once more, a great way is to teach your children at home. No teacher is going to care about your kids as much as you do. Seton Home Study School is the best way to teach your children at home. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
This program is brought to you in part by Dave Tyson with Real Estate for Life, a faith-based organization, and Texana Bank, offering residential mortgage assistance across all 50 states, including purchases and refinances with conventional FHA and VA loans. More information can be found at re4l.org. Again, that's re4l.org.
All loans subject to credit approval. Texana Bank, NMLS 407536. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria, Florida, a big kind of small town where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at avemaria.com. That's avemaria.com.
Ever get asked one of those tough questions, like, do Catholics worship Mary? And in that moment, you freeze? Truthfully, the Catholic AI app gives you answers in seconds rooted in scripture, tradition, and the magisterium. Whether you're navigating a tough conversation, deepening your faith, or looking for daily spiritual guidance, Truthfully helps you know, live, and defend the Catholic faith. Truthfully can be found in the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's Truthfully, T-R-U-T-H-L-Y.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter, talking with Mike Vasquez, CEO of Opioid Clinical Management, author of The Untold Story of the Opioid Crisis in American Healthcare. So, Mike, like you mentioned, your son got into opioid use as well, together with his friend. And because of the tragedy of the loss of the friend, you and your bride both realized that this is more pressing an issue than it ever was. And so we've talked briefly about the practice of medicine that led to the opioid crisis. But can you share a little bit about the history as well and what constitutes substances that fall into opioids? And unfortunately, how easy it is to spiral into those addictions.
The history of opioid dependency really is sad because it started with an aspect of a 6-line article that was published that said opioids are not addictive. And then the industry, the pharmacy industry, began to present that and push it. But interestingly enough, when you research into that study, it was only done while the patient was in the hospital, and they never saw addiction in the hospital. And so that basis is really how it was launched and how overprescribing happened. And so what we found inside of St. Gregory is the fact that it was a chemical reaction. As everybody may know, the body has a natural painkiller called an endorphin. And so when there's pain, stress, anxiety, the body calls on that, and it says, I need an endorphin, and then at that point, the body provides it. What happens is when you have an injury or an illness, the opioid is prescribed, and when the person takes the opioid attaches to the same receptor because through the genius of the pharmaceutical industry, the molecule of an opioid almost identically mimics the molecular structure of a body's endorphin. So the body thinks it's an endorphin, lets it attach, and then at that point, though, the problem is that now the body thinks it has an oversupply of endorphins, so it starts to excrete them. And now the body has a depletion of endorphins, and the next time the body has pain, stress, anxiety, and it calls on needing an endorphin, the body doesn't have the supply it needs. It's made up of 31 amino acids, and when there may be just some depletion of some of those amino acids, but it can't create an endorphin. So that, by definition, is then getting back to what I said earlier. If you don't give me an opioid, I'm going to make you sick. And that sickness is really the body desiring to provide an endorphin, but it can't. So that's really the heart of where it started and how it really is dealt with. And getting back to what I said before, is it's really a chemistry problem. And what we found at St. Gregory's was we had a group of physicians working on chemotherapy withdrawal side effects, and they broke down the brain chemistry of an opioid, and we found the amino acids that make up an endorphin. You can't go off the shelf and buy an endorphin, but you can purchase all of the amino acids. And we found by flooding the body with amino acids as you're coming off of an opioid, you can start to alleviate that craving. And that's another issue to discuss, is what's a patient that is prescribed or is going to opioid drug treatment, they're able to be more successful. Because interestingly enough, only about 18% of the people who become addicted to opioids ever get help. And the reason is because, different than a party drug or a other type of drug, opioids are taken to feel normal. And so what happens is, when you're usually talking to a person that you know they're addicted to opioids and they're using, at that point they come across as normal. And if you can ever try to talk somebody who's feeling normal into going to treatment, it's almost impossible. Then once they do go to treatment and they're denied the opioid, they then start a craving. And if they're not treated medically for that craving before they enter treatment, you only see about a 50% completion rate from patients going in for opioid treatment, because of the fact that that craving drives them out of it. And that's what we learned at St. Gregory, is the fact that we had to solve the craving issue before I could let you into actual treatment, because we knew you wouldn't be successful if we couldn't alleviate the craving. So hopefully that answers a little bit of that, gives you a little overview.
Understanding all of that, have we seen a failure on the part of treatment centers in terms of dealing with people who develop these opioid addictions, especially post-medical treatment?
I think it's the recognition of what I just described. And if you don't recognize that the patient needs to go through medical detox before they go to treatment, as opposed to trying to get them into treatment, deny the drug, and let them just sort of tough it through that craving phase, that's where I think if the treatment industry and treatment programs individually aren't doing that, then at that point, that's when you really start to see a failure. Now, I will add one caveat that was unique to our model and tied back to our Catholic faith. And I just believe that everybody who walked through the front door was bringing the devil with them. There was just demons everywhere. And so we felt like, if you think of that mind, body, and soul, that it wasn't just superficial for us. So what we did was we found that we had the local bishop in our diocese actually allowed us to hire a priest full-time on staff. So we were one of the few for-profit companies in Iowa that actually had a full-time priest on staff and did daily mass. And in our women's house, we built a convent of a house next door to our treatment center, converted it to a convent, and brought in an order of nuns. And so it was the most common thing I've ever seen, is in for females inside of a treatment program to have the hallway with nuns in full habits walking down the hallway, because a lot of women who go through addiction are dealing really with trauma that they've had in their life. And that they were not, and there wasn't a high percentage of our patients that were Catholic, but yet every day they'd see nuns at mass praying for their recovery, and all of a sudden they would start to get that comfort. So if you add the chemistry issue that I've just described, and then on top of that, the fact that we had the Blessed Sacrament in all of our programs and daily mass in all of our locations, whether they were Catholic or not, we saw amazing recovery.
And so the combination of this spirituality plus sound medical practice, recognizing the fallenness of human nature and the needs of patients, this is what you're seeing yielding the best kind of fruit.
You know, that combination is what we saw as the best success. And even our program couldn't fight all of the demons out there. So you may be familiar with Father Ripperker. And so we would actually, Father Ripperker was willing to come in every 6 to 8 weeks and deal with the not literal exorcisms, but come through the house and pray to eliminate that. So we really took the process of, even though the patients weren't Catholic, carried it out in our Catholic faith, and we think that's part of why, you know, we were blessed with the success that we had.
So as we round off this segment, Mike, I want to ask you to also share, for people who know people, or if they themselves want to find out more about your work, how can they find out more?
Again, we actually sold St. Gregory to a firm that's still operating exactly as we did it. And so what we're doing now is working with what we found is we saw so many people walk through the front door with that lost feeling in their eyes that I decided that you may not be aware of this, but there are more treatment programs in the U.S., inpatient, outpatient, and counselors, than there are McDonald's. And so I thought, rather than trying to be just another one, could we prevent it? And that's what we spend our time doing now, is trying to prevent the issue through the medical discussion that I just had with that I talked about with physicians.
Well, thank you so much, Mike, for making the time to speak with us.
Absolutely.
My guest has been Mike Vasquez. He's the author of The Untold Story of the Opioid Crisis in American Healthcare. And we've been talking about pathways forward for better healing. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
Ave Maria School of Law is the Roman Catholic law school in the United States. Consistently ranked in the Princeton Review as one of the best and most conservative law schools, as well as pre-law's most devout law school. Ave Maria School of Law provides a traditional legal education while emphasizing how the law intersects with the Catholic intellectual tradition and natural law philosophy. Ave Maria School of Law, unabashedly Catholic, consistently excellent. For more information, visit avemarialaw.edu.
As Catholics, it's not always easy to share our faith with others. As a St. Paul Center member, you'll have access to a growing library of online scripture and theology content with Scott Hahn, John Bergsma, and other leading scholars to help you encounter Christ in scripture and empower you to share your faith confidently. Know Christ, share Christ. Get started free at stpaulcenter.com/ave. That's stpaulcenter.com/ave.
St. Therese once told her sister Celine that when we trust ourselves and not God, our soul becomes barren and incapable of virtue. Her remedy? External works of charity. We all try to do it on our own sometimes without asking for God's help. At St. Paul Evangelization, we suggest sharing the gospel with someone who needs it. Check out streetevangelization.com to find a team near you where you can share the love of Jesus. If there isn't one in your area yet, perhaps God is calling you to start a team in your city. To learn more, visit streetevangelization.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
And we need to pray for all our world leaders and all those who are in such danger. See, in a day and age where people are getting further away from God, you get further away from goodness. Only God is good. You remember what our Lord said one day? Why do you call me good? He said, only God is good. Only God.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
Too often we parents get so caught up in the day-to-day grind of family life, appointments, chores, emails, and so on, that we don't spend enough time on our most important job, spiritually parenting our kids. What is spiritual parenting? It's nothing more than capturing our kids' hearts and then doing what we can to bring their hearts to God. The Liturgy of Domestic Church Life provides the rituals and routines we need to be good spiritual parents. prioritizing family time, being extravagant in our affection and affirmation, serving one another generously and cheerfully, and practicing gentle discipleship discipline. Ultimately, spiritual parenting is about helping our kids recognize their inherent worth so that they, in turn, can love God and others wholeheartedly. To find out more about spiritual parenting, check out our books, Parenting Your Kids with Grace and Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace, or visit CatholicHOM.com. I'm Dr. Greg Potchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Life is hard and we have to struggle against so much, including the ongoing struggle against our own sinfulness. And sometimes we just want to say, no more, I'm done. But God isn't done with you. I'm Dr. Marcus Peter, and in my book, Not Finished Yet, I can show you how God has already begun a wondrous work in you, in each of us, and only needs your cooperation. Find Not Finished Yet and all of our other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. I'm talking with Father Wade Menezes. Father Wade Menezes is someone I consider a friend, and his book, Stand Firm and Be Strong, has been one of the best, well, frankly, one of the best books I've been blessed to read, let alone write a blurb for. But I also want to share that by virtue of this book, he is now launching a daily podcast that, and this book is tremendously well received, and he's launching a daily podcast to share wisdom, chewable wisdom for men every single day to dive deeper into their call of being virtuous, holy sons of God, men, husbands, and fathers. Father, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing great, Marcus. Thank you so much for having me on to help promote the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Oh, the joy is completely mine. As soon as I saw your email, there was no way I was going to say no, and I know you knew that. So let's begin, Father, by revisiting the blessing of your book. Share with us about what the book's about and the way you structured it.
Sure. So Stand Firm, Be Strong is a men's Catholic daily devotional of Scripture and saints. It's got 200 days worth of meditations, which is just over a six-month period. So I call it effectually my six-month spiritual manual for men. All 200 days have a topic at the top of the page of this daily reader titled Stand Firm, Be Strong. And then three things follow the topic of the day. In order, those three things are the following: a scripture quote on that topic, a saint quote on that topic, and Father Wade's short meditation on that topic. So it's meant to be a 5 to 8 minute exercise each day for the men as they begin their day. And what inspired me to write it, it came out in November of 2024, so just under 2 years ago, was that I personally felt that as Catholics, we greatly lacked in the daily devotional format for men, specifically for males, whether single, married, widowed, or as consecrated brothers, priests, deacons, or bishops. So I wrote it with all vocations and all states of life in mind. And it has done very, very well in its first year and a half. Again, it's been out almost 2 years now. It's done so well that EWTN itself pitched to me as an idea to do a daily podcast of the daily 200 days worth of meditations. So we launched on Monday, August 3rd, a 200-day podcast that's in strict and direct conformity with the book. So, for example, day one of the 200-day meditations of the book from November 2024, when it came out, is titled Commitment. Well, day one of the podcast is titled Commitment. But where the book is meant to be a 5 to 8 minute exercise each day for the man as he begins his day, the podcast just extracts the main pertinent points of that day's meditation, and the podcast is under 5 minutes each day to inspire the man to go deeper in the book. So, for example, what are some of the topics of the day, both spiritual and secular topics of the day? Well, the committed man, I already said. Commitment, accountability, strength and fortitude, having no duplicity or guile, shunning sin and vice, the importance of weekly Eucharist, the importance of monthly confession, the reality of the devil, authentic fraternity and brotherhood, the demands of virtue and aiming towards salvation, the virtue of diligence, seeking the truth, the need for humility amidst not only trials, but also amidst successes. Humility is needed both during trials and successes, right? Confidence, the athlete of God, and others. So a good peppering, if you will, of both spiritual and more secular or temporal topics that are in the book are corresponding directly with the 200 days format of the podcast.
Father, the last time we spoke, one of the things you highlighted was how crucial it was for you to make sure that these things are bite-sized. I invite you to share why that is.
Yeah, well, because we're all busy, right? Mm-hmm. But we all want to start our day with a kernel that will ground us, root us. It will cement us in that day's living of pursuing and seeking the good, the true, and the beautiful. And I think a daily devotional format is a great way to do that, whether it's in book form or whether it's in podcast form. And I think that's why the book has been so popular with guys. You know, it's precisely because the book has done so well with male readers that EWTN pitched the idea for the podcast, because the book itself has proven to hold men's attention as a committed daily exercise to strengthen their spiritual and temporal lives. And so my hope, Marcus, is that the podcast will likewise strike at the male heart and spark the male intellect, if you will, to help men live their vocations more fully and committedly. You know, I'm very much in your face in my introduction of the book that this is meant for singles, marrieds, widowers, consecrated priests, brothers, whether diocesan priests or religious order priests, religious order brothers, even bishops. So regardless of one's vocation and state in life, I want this book to really help men ground themselves and continually help them to form themselves in pursuance of the true, the good, and the beautiful, both by looking at these secular topics and these spiritual topics, because it's a peppering of both categories, okay? It's not just strictly a spiritual book. And to help the man really form his life, whatever that vocation is, whatever that state in life is, help him form his life around the truths of our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith.
When I read your book, it became abundantly clear that you are very in your face, if you will, with the language of the book, and I was so appreciative of it. And to that end, Father, I want to, man-to-man, I want to ask you to speak very clearly into what is truly a crisis of manhood, not just in the secular culture, but also in the church today.
You know, we live in a day and age that tragically downplays authentic masculinity and what that means. Mm-hmm. For example, whether it's the prevalence of television commercials that frequently make the husband or man look like a buffoon, to the misguided direction being offered by various movements on the internet, you know, the so-called manosphere. What it means to be a man in the authentic Christian sense is greatly attacked today. And a good model for all men, whether a layman or a cleric or a consecrated religious man, is to look, for example, and this is just one example, there's others, but to look to the life of Saint Joseph, the true just man, the man who never spoke a word in sacred scripture, and yet he lived his vocation fully as provider, leader, and protector. Another one, I think, is Saint John Paul II, you know, and his 26-plus year pontificate, and the equilibrium he had with his emotions, his passions, his feelings. He was able to keep everything in check. And I think that's another great role model for us is the life of St. John Paul II. You know, I think Dr. Tim Gray of the Augustine Institute, I believe he's currently the president of the Augustine Institute, he reminds us that the virtues give us the blueprint for being a man. And indeed, the very term virtue comes from the Latin word for man as male, which is vir, V-I-R. To be man precisely as male, the Latin word is vir. Now, for mankind or humankind, meaning both men and women, the Latin word is hominess. Well, we're not talking about that. We're talking about vir, V-I-R. Mm. It's the same Latin root, the Latin word for man precisely as a male, where we get the word virtus from, okay, the word virtue from, which signifies what? It signifies power, strength, and ability. So thus, the virtues are habits that give us the power to act in a manly way, with strength sufficient to do what is right. So in other words, without virtues, we will neither be godly nor real men. And the virtues are thus the building blocks, we could say, of manly character. And without them, a man's moral life will eventually collapse and will do so under the pressures of the world. So Stand Firm, Be Strong, both in the book form and the podcast form, are designed to help the man pursue virtue and virtuous living in his daily vocation.
I'm talking with Father Wade Menezes. He is author most recently of Stand Firm, Be Strong, a men's Catholic daily devotional of scripture and saints, and now the host of a new podcast on this same book. We're going to continue on the other side of the break. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
This Ave Maria program brought to you in part by the following nonprofit.
One of the greatest threats to your family isn't a disaster or a virus, but addiction. In nearly every family and every pew, someone is silently struggling. Beginning July 11th, Shalom World TV and the iThirst Initiative present Unshackled, a powerful new series on the Catholic Church's response to the addiction crisis, bringing together leading voices to discuss real healing. Stream it free at shalomworld.org or on the Shalom World app today.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Father Benedict Rochelle.
Brothers and sisters, we got to tell the truth in this country. For heaven's sakes, I wouldn't want to go to a synagogue and find that they were having a Muslim service. I wouldn't want to go to a mosque and run into a Baptist service. I don't want to go to a Baptist church and find out that they're having Mass. We've got to be honest to ourselves. We've got to be what we are. I'd rather a good old-fashioned, honest agnostic than a phony Christian any day of the week. There are reluctant agnostics. There are atheists who are searching for God, and they may find him. But somebody who says they're doing something in the name of God, in the name of Christ, and God and Christ have nothing to do with it, is violating this commandment. I am the Lord your God. You shall not take my name in vain.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
When should we pray? The Catholic Catechism asserts that any time is the right time. We learn to pray by hearing the Word of God and sharing in His Paschal Mystery. But the Holy Spirit is offered to us at all times in the events of each day so that prayer can spontaneously spring up from us. Jesus teaches us that, like providence, time is in the Father's hands. We encounter Him in the present, not yesterday, not tomorrow, today. Psalm 95 cautions us, "If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts." Praying through the events of the day is one of the secrets of the kingdom, as revealed to little children, the faithful, and the poor of the Beatitudes. This means that the coming of the kingdom can influence the march of history as well as humble everyday events. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Speed. I'm talking with Father Wade Menezes, author most recently of Stand Firm, Be Strong, a men's Catholic daily devotional of Scripture and saints. He's also on EWTN Open Line every Tuesday. Father, when I listen to you on Open Line, I think it becomes very clear that so much of what you're dealing with in terms of the questions and the way you answer it communicates to, at least me, because I know you and I know the book, that this desire to be a virtuous man comes forth in how you live out your spiritual fatherhood. And so much of the doctrinal confusion we're seeing in the church could in some ways be attributed to men not rising up and taking on the charge of spiritual leadership and immersion in doctrine and in the life of the church. I invite your thoughts there.
Yeah, you know, I do believe very strongly that men in the church do need to step up more. Because of their very vocation as men. You know, John Paul II talked about this in his Theology of the Body, regarding the feminine genius of women, it's nurturer, comforter, and nester. Where for the male, it's provider, leader, and protector. Not that the two genders cannot share in one another's natural gifts. They surely can. We've all heard the phrase, for example, you know, don't poke mama bear, you know, because she's going to protect her young. And that's a beautiful thing. There's nothing wrong with that. All John Paul II was saying was that each gender has its particular gifts. Doesn't mean they can't share in the opposite gender gifts, but each one has its particular gifts. And for the male, for the man, it's provider, protector, and leader. And whether it's the protection of the virtue of his children as a husband and father, whether it's the protection of the virtue of his parishioners, his flock as a parish priest, a bishop over his entire diocese or archdiocese, whether it be the single man at his place of employment and work and wanting to share virtue and virtuous living with his fellow coworkers, both male and female fellow coworkers, we're all called to do our part. As St. John Henry Cardinal Newman says, we all have a role to play. We all have a significant role to play in this great gift that's called our life. And the question is, what are we going to do with it? And for men, it's to address these issues or these areas, I should say, of providing, protecting, and leading, to give our all to help transform the world. You want to help transform the world? Where do you begin? You begin with yourself. That's where you begin. And that's something that cannot be lost sight of, I don't think. You know, and that's why I state in the book, and the same goes for the podcast, I state in the book's introduction, you know, if you're a 14-year-old male, that is a freshman in high school, or older, all the way up to your 80s and 90s, if you're 14 or older and you're serious about living your manhood, you're serious about living your faith, you're serious about giving your all as a man in modern society and what that means in the pursuance, again, of the good, the true, and the good, and the beautiful. This book and this podcast are meant for you, and you're meant to incorporate them into your daily life. That's why I didn't want to change the title of the podcast. I asked EWTN to keep the podcast title the same as the book, mm-hmm. Stand Firm, Be Strong, only to promote it as a podcast format rather than the book format. The book's full title, as you've already said, Marcus, is Stand Firm, Be Strong, a men's Catholic daily devotional of Scripture and Saints. Well, the podcast is titled Stand Firm, Be Strong, and we could add the subtitle of a men's Catholic daily podcast of Scripture and Saints, because I keep the pertinent points the same of the book. And whatever the topic is for that certain day, it's the same exact topic for that certain day on the podcast, you know. And so I wanted to keep things simple, you know. So, for example, day 69 in the book is titled A Real Man is a Virtuous Man. And I quote Ephesians 4, verses 29 through 32. And I quote St. Alphonsus Liguori as the saint of that day. And then I give my short meditation for that day. Well, day 69 of the podcast is the same exact title. A real man is a virtuous man. And I say this, an important point for men to remember is that the Latin word for man as male is vir, V-I-R. Vir is a Latin word that provides the etymology for the Latin word virtus, implying power, ability, and strength. Virtus in English is simply the word virtue. The important lesson here, to be manly is precisely to be virtuous. Do not forget this. And that's how I end the podcast. You know, so they're snippets, but they take the most pertinent points of the book and put them in a 5-minute or less podcast in a daily format.
You know, Father, there's no doubt that one of the things your podcast is going to do is it's going to be an alternative and a remedy for all of those other, unfortunately, toxic content that's out there in the world. And I invite your fatherly wisdom here. What's the draw? Why would people be drawn and find alluring the message of people in the manosphere when clearly that leads to nothing but selfishness and wanton depravity?
You know, it's interesting. I think everything ultimately is meant to lead us back around to God, even when we get off track. This is part of the exitus and reditus doctrine of the Catholic Church. Exitus meaning we come from God, and reditus, the Latin phrase, meaning we are called to return to God. So, for example, one thing that's gaining a lot of traction right now on the so-called manosphere is the so-called looks-maxing movement, okay? Well, that has to do with the so-called the handsomeness, the beauty, etc. But as human persons, Marcus, we are naturally attracted to beauty. Mm-hmm. We are naturally attracted to beauty. Why? Because God calls us to an ultimate end with Him, eternal beatitude, the beatific vision. And to get there, we are called to pursue in this life while still living this average of 79 years. The latest longevity statistics say that we live for an average of 79.4 years for men, 79.8 years for women. We are called to pursue what? The good, the true, and the beautiful. Because the human person is naturally attracted to that, okay? The problem is we're getting off track and looking for it in finite things, like with the looks maxing movement. And that's where the problem is. The devil will take something good and he will manipulate it, contort it, and twist it and want to turn it upside down to make it something it's not. Okay? And that should be no surprise to any of us, right? Because the word diabolus in Latin, devil, comes from the Greek diaboline. Okay? And what does that mean? Diaboline in the Greek or diabolus in the Latin? It means to contort or twist. It means to rip apart a hole. It means to turn upside down. It means to make it topsy-turvy so it has no stability. This is what the word devil means. This is what diabolus in the Latin and diaboline in the Greek means. And I state this in the book. You know, so I'm really hoping that guys will take the timely wisdom of the podcast, go deeper into the book, and it will help men to prepare to put on the armor of God for their daily struggles and help them withstand trials both at home and at work. Because the trials at home and at work can be many, right? And so they got to learn to put on the armor of God and how to deal with the daily situations that we call life. And I'm hoping it will also help enkindle in them a stronger prayer life, better utilize the sacraments, better utilize their own talents. We all have our own talents. We all have our own gifts. And order their priorities in their daily living. And it will help them ultimately to imitate Christ in guarding their senses and responding to temptation in a proper way. All important factors, I think, when navigating life in this third millennium, whether as a man or a woman, but I'm addressing specifically the men here. So again, stand firm, be strong, a men's Catholic daily devotional of Scripture and Saints for the book, and stand firm, be strong, a men's Catholic daily podcast of Scripture and Saints. To access the podcast, all they got to do, Marcus, is go to EWTN.com. Right now, the podcast is found on three rows. It's found on the podcast row, the growth in spiritual life row, and also the spotlight row. And so it can be found on any of those rows of at EW10.com, which at the homepage, what we call the front page when you first go to a website. When you first go to the website, that's the homepage or the front page. Just simply go to EW10.com and you see all these horizontal lines of different shows and series and podcasts. Right now, they have Stand Firm, Be Strong listed on three of them. Again, the podcast row, the spotlight row, and the spiritual growth row. And we launched the third. So, and we're posting a new podcast every day. We began on Monday, August 3rd. So today is the eighth day of the podcast having been launched. And so right now we have the first 8 days of the podcast, which are also, incidentally, the first 8 days of the book. Same exact eight topics that appear in the book are the same exact eight topics that appear in the podcast in the same exact order. The podcast corresponds directly with the book, and they can listen to an under 5 minute podcast in the morning as they begin their day to help strengthen that day and keep them on track and go deeper even more with the book.
Father, of course, even as you share this, you want everyone, if they first come to the podcast, to begin where they're beginning, from the beginning with the book, and to go day by day, because you want them to get the full 200-day experience. So share with us about how, regardless of where we start, it's the journey in this entire Stand Firm, Be Strong journey that matters.
Yeah, you bring up a great question, because that's precisely why I did not calendarize the 200 days.
Oh, yes, yeah.
6 months. Like, I did not calendarize it from January 1 to June 30th or from July 1 to December 31st. I simply went day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, all the way to day 200. Why? Because things come up in a man's life where he might have to set the book aside for 4 or 5 days. Let's say the family's moving to a different state, and you know, it's a big move for the family, right? So he's going to have to set aside the book for 4 or 5 days. He's able to do that and just come back and pick up where he left off.
Father, as usual, thank you very much for your time, your wisdom. I'm talking with Father Wade Menezes, and I want to greatly encourage every man listening right now, and frankly, every bride and child, encourage your fathers and the men in your life to sign up for Stand Firm, Be Strong, the podcast, and then procure a copy of the book, Stand Firm, Be Strong, and Journey for 200 Days. I'm Marcus Peter.